Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Here on Hot Takes on a Plate, you get to eavesdrop on the ultimate food fights as I debate my culinary world friends and other eating enthusiasts in their areas of expertise. And today we are talking about a booming industry. We are talking about products that sold a combined more than $500 million in sales in the U.S. last year. We are talking about the thing that everybody talks about in the fall. We are talking about pumpkin spice. I'm Rob Petrone, and joining me today from Food Network personality, Ali Khan, and writer from The Takeout, also baker, cookbook author, Allison Robicelli. So let's start with you, Allison, since you're the baker. Pumpkin spice. It's a controversial thing. You know, like, I personally don't have anything against the spices that make up pumpkin spice. I mean, when you think about pumpkin spice, you're talking about cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves, sometimes allspice. But my issue is pumpkin spice as we know it in America now, it's basically like sugar masquerading as fall. Yeah. And I just don't think we need like an excuse for like sweet for the sake of sweet. What are your thoughts on this?
All right. So pumpkin spice, I've never really seen it as something that was supposed to be associated with something that isn't sweet. And, you know, in the fall, where like the temperatures are dropping, my body is telling me like winter is coming. We need to fatten ourselves up like a bear, you know, to make it through it. And it's like, you know what? You should eat a pie every day and cinnamon rolls and all of that stuff, like apple crisp. I mean, this is the season that you want to bake. It was hot as balls for like 3 freaking months. I didn't bake it in the summer. And now it's like I can put it on the oven and like I have pies I need to make up for. You know, we look forward to this the same way we'll look to, like, you know, Halloween for candy. It's not hurting anybody. It's not, you know, and everybody loved pumpkin spice until it got so super popular and it jumped the shark. And now
Starbucks,
like,
you're blaming Starbucks.
I'm not blaming Starbucks. I'm blaming everybody else. The pumpkin spice latte is still good. I have one every Thanksgiving morning. It has been a tradition. I only drink one on Thanksgiving morning. And it's a really special thing for me. You know, I really like it. But when everybody started pumpkin spicing everything, like there's pumpkin spice popcorn, like one time, okay, my husband and I, we had this bet, going for a while. Like, you know, the best part about being married is that you're just trolling the same person for the rest of your life. So we ended up in this like sort of pumpkin spice off where if we had to go buy something for any reason and there was a pumpkin spice version, we would get the pumpkin spice version. And things got out of control very quickly. And I could say you do not need pumpkin spice spray cleaner for your counters or your bathroom. But you still have to use the whole bottle because otherwise that means the other person won. But, you know, it goes too far. So everything doesn't need to be pumpkin spice. But is that my fault? Is that like I shouldn't have to enjoy pumpkin spice because some asshole decided to like put it in spam or cat litter or whatever? This is their fucking problem. It's
okay,
not
so Ali, I'm curious here. It sounds like what Allison's saying here is pumpkin spice's trajectory kind of mirrors Taylor Swift. It's like she came on the scene, super popular. Then there was a backlash. Like, you know, Taylor Swift, too much Taylor Swift everywhere. Now it's like, but wait, she's actually like pretty good at this music thing. And so what? She's popular. Like is pumpkin spice just like the Taylor Swift of the food world?
That's a tough thing to say until we can get pumpkin spice on the record on social media to share his or her, I don't know pumpkin spice gender, on their feelings about Donald Trump and the upcoming election, because that's something I respect a lot, heck out of Taylor. Is that she is pretty vocal about her political.
Wait, why are you bringing politics into this, Ali? This was supposed to be the fun episode. What are you doing?
Because you brought in Taylor Swift and you can't separate Taylor. I think she's got a lot of.
Ali, you work for Food Network. I close your mouth. Don't go there.
Not sharing my own.
No, you have to be neutral.
Not sure.
I'm trying to save you.
I'm just
I don't have to be neutral.
No, I'm just Ollie, talking about
it. Ollie can be as neutral as he wants. It's fuck like that, you just Tito.
Who did you just tag in? What are you doing, Ollie? Ollie the disruptor.
Taylor. I think Taylor has you know, it's hey, you know what? I can't even go there with other people. You know, because who's my alternative? James Woods, Scott Baio, not going there. But I think Taylor, I don't know, that's something when I think about Taylor Swift, I think about obviously someone who huge following, very, very successful.
But we're talking about Pumpkin Spice.
What is Pumpkin Spice?
Ollie, what are you doing?
You brought in Taylor Swift. I'm responding to where you're taking things, Rob. Okay, here's the deal. Maybe I've been living in a bubble. And I, in a way, I have because of Corona. But I'm just going to share this. Yes, the Starbucks beverage is freaking fantastic. But I have to say, Pumpkin Spice for, you know, garnering, what, $500 million? Not getting a lot of money from Ollie. I'll tell you what. There's one Pumpkin Spice that I have in my cabinet that I probably had for about 4 Thanksgiving. And I buy it to make pumpkin pie. Because unlike Allison, cookbook author and accomplished baker, I do not bake, you know what I mean? But I do love the image of a bear fattening up and eating a pie every day for breakfast. And the bear uses a fork and knife. That's the image I was conjuring. Yeah. But what I do find fascinating about pumpkin spice is it is all these spices that I really enjoy, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, all in one thing. And what was really interesting to me, why I think I actually am advocate for pumpkin spice, I call it pumpkin pie spice, whatever, is it's a great thing if you just want to add, if you're creating like a chili or a stew, and I saw this on an episode of The Kitchen, and Sunny Anderson made this chili, and she's like, I'm going to give it a little Moroccan bump, something she said, I think, and she used it, and the cool thing was, is how many people, they may not have like, oh, hey, Rebecca, where's all the allspice? Where's all my ground allspice? Did you use it all last night when I wasn't looking? But people have pumpkin pie spice. And she totally used that in the chili. And I was like, that's genius.
Well, yeah, because the pumpkin spice, the pumpkin pie spice, does not come with sugar in it. The sugar is added. And when you think about those spices, you just really alluded to it, you know, cinnamon and ginger and nutmeg and allspice and cloves. You know, those are common spices in a lot of great cuisines. Like,
I think of
Caribbean. I think of Indian. You know, it's great with savory things. It can be great with spicy things. For me, it's the sugar. It's basically bread. And also, there's no pumpkin in it. I don't even know why we call it this. There's no pumpkin in it. It doesn't taste like pumpkin. It's warming spices. It tastes like fall. Yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing for apple pie. If you put it in sweet potato, you can put it in custard. You can make anything kind of taste like spices. It has nothing to do with pumpkin, but it also has nothing to do with sugar. As I could say from the Spick and Span pumpkin spice cleaner that covered my cabinets in the fall of 2000.
You were not kidding. You were not being facetious.
Do you think I was lying about this? No. Me and my husband, seriously, like, you know, if we're going to commit to a bit, we commit to the bit, and it smelled so bad. But we had pumpkin spice candles to cover up that scent. You know, what
Jesus, I think you're the reason why it's a $500 million. Yes. The bets you take with your husband are fueling this entire thing.
I mean, you know, I think I could be a trendsetter. I think more people could think about ruining their husband's entire week by, you know, pumpkin spicing up the whole damn house. But, you know, it's festive. It's nice to have like another freaking festive season because we used to only have Christmas. And I'm a big fall person because I really don't know how to dress myself, but I know how to wear a cute jacket. I have like 12 leather jackets. I look great in them.
Fair. Fall is the best for jackets. I'm not going to lie. Fall is the best jacket season.
Climate change, I've got like 6 weeks to look cute in a jacket. So I have pumpkin spice season. I've got like, I need to enjoy this. And like everyone just hates pumpkin spice now. And I'm like, I don't care. It is now cool to like pumpkin spice again.
Look, I don't want to get segued here, but I will say this. You hit on something with the jacket thing, because I do think it's interesting that we all have like one, maybe two winter jackets, and we all have 17 fall jackets mm-hmm. that we get 3.5 weeks to wear.
Exactly. Yeah. I wear a black t-shirt and jeans every day. but comes cute jacket season, my God, I'll go through like 7 outfit changes in a day. And, you know, I mean, fall is wonderful. Fall is kind of like the, you know, it kind of feels like a new beginning in a lot of ways. Like I've got kids, so it's the start of a new school year.
Yeah.
You know, you're leading into Christmas. You kind of like, you're over the hump in the year. I mean, this year is an entire shit show. So let's pretend it's not this year at all. But, you know, you're kind of like in a reflective mood and you're like, oh, I can cozy up by a fire and I can wear a nice sweater and I can go outside without sweating my balls off or being freezing. It's got everything you want.
I probably should have said before we started that we don't usually curse on this podcast, but it's cool. It's cool. New rules.
That was an expletive.
Just bleep it out.
We're good.
I'll be on my best behavior.
You know what? If we're ever going to curse through an episode, it should be the family fun that is pumpkin spice.
It should. Yeah.
It really should.
I love that I've been on this podcast for 5 minutes and already ruined it for everyone.
No. This is great. and look, I want to debate specific pumpkin spice items. I want to know with these very specific things that if you like it or if you don't. And I want to start with Ollie, I'll start with you on this one. Pumpkin spiced mac and cheese. Kraft has pumpkin spiced mac and cheese. Now, you me know, personally, I'm just, like I don't know. I don't love the idea of those spices with cheese. I think nutmeg works on its own, but I don't know. Like I personally think it might be a little too much. What are your thoughts?
Is there gonna be sugar in it?
You know what? I'm a terrible researcher. I'm lazy. I read a couple of articles. Did I look at the nutritional facts for Kraft pumpkin spice mac and cheese? Nope, I did not. I didn't do that.
Yeah. I don't think it has sugar. I mean, I think it's very much kind of like a trolling thing, which means they want me to buy it for my husband, which I will.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely getting Romicelli's money.
Oh, that's, yeah. I have $1.25 already for these people.
It might just have red food coloring for all we know. Just, you know, it's just kind of, you know, look, I, as someone who kind of, you know, made the whole food thing on Instagram work in my favor, there are things that I do get annoyed with, which is the whole, hey, mac and cheese with bacon in it, blah, 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 even though it is kind of good, but it's just so overblown. Look, I love those spices. I love savory flavors. I would try it. I would definitely try it.
I am trying to look it up right now as we talk.
But it hinges on one thing and absolutely one thing. Not if there's sugar in it. I do not want mac and cheese to taste like dessert. That's wrong and that's gross. So I give it a shot. I mean, look.
They're not listing it. They're not listing it on their site. Oh, come on.
Well, there you go. Maybe there's a... I mean, look. I mean, all those spices to me... I mean, my parents were from Bangladesh, okay? So those spices are very familiar to my palate. Like I kind of, for me, like a comfort food is a curry or a biryani. So why not? I think, yeah, sure.
Yeah. My husband, who was overhearing me, because I think he's spying to find out what I'm up to next, he just brought up the point, a noodle kugel, a pumpkin spice noodle kugel would be excellent.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Is he used to hearing you talking loudly in the bathroom? Okay. Just checking.
That's where we go to hide from the children and each other, essentially. So, cool. You know, he knows that I'm not just talking to the toilet this time.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I will try. I mean, I probably will have to try the pumpkin spice mac and cheese for work. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'll try it. I'll try it just to say I did. You know, like, I mean, so much food out there is stupid. I mean, this is not even close to the stupidest thing we have ever heard of. Everybody's just doing stuff to like, you know, why do we do it? Because we can. Because people like me will get a press release and say, I'm too tired to do anything of significance today. Let me just write about your pumpkin spice thing. And then they'll get a billion hits and everyone will have a good laugh. And then the president will get coronavirus and we'll forget. So,
Allison.
What?
Allison jumping off the top rope. Here we go. All right. Next one.
Okay.
Pumpkin spice glazed turkey breast, honey baked ham, also in the trolling game, came out with pumpkin spice glazed turkey breast. Now, to me, it sounds like an excuse to dump a ton of brown sugar on turkey, which is maybe not the worst thing in the world, depending on your taste buds. But what are you thinking of this, Allison?
Okay. Turkey is associated with the holiday, where we take sweet potatoes, cover them in maple syrup, then marshmallows, then broil them and say, this is a vegetable, okay? then we cover it in a can full of cranberry jelly that is about 70% sugar. I don't want to hear anybody talking crap about this damn turkey. It is delicious, probably. If you've made a turkey sandwich with that sweet potato or cranberry sauce on it, you're fully aware of what sugar you're going to get into. And turkey doesn't really taste like much. It's kind of boring. So yeah, throw some ham on. I mean, I'm sure that we have been probably, lots of people have been pumpkin spicing their turkeys for a while. They just didn't brand it correctly. So yeah, I mean, I'll eat all the pumpkin spice meats, you know, why not?
I mean, I'm sure grandma one day grabbed the wrong spice at the wrong time and put pumpkin spice on her turkey and put a ton of salt on her sweet potatoes. So, I'm sure this has happened.
If you wanted to do a Moroccan turkey breast, you could use pumpkin spice. If you wanted to do a jerk turkey breast, you could build it off of pumpkin spice.
Absolutely.
You know, so I am all about it.
But again, they're using pumpkin spice honey baked ham the way Starbucks does. It's really more like brown sugar turkey breast. That's what it is.
Yeah. I really like honey baked ham because I've never actually eaten there, but I like their name that they just come out and say what they are. It's like, what does this store sell? Freaking ham. I don't have to interpret crap. I'm driving down the road. I'm like, oh shit, I could go for some ham. Pull over, get myself a bag of ham. So I am fully in support of whatever this company does, even if they're selling garbage.
Now, Ollie, I'm wondering, one, if you're on board with this turkey, but also you live in Austin, Texas, home of amazing barbecue. Could pumpkin spice be used on some brisket in the smoker?
Yes. So to just dive right in here, first of all, if this involves sugar, okay, like you said, a glaze, I assume it's going to have sugar in it. That's what's coming to my mind. Survey says no on the turkey, and I'm going to tell you why. I like boar's head turkey. I like it. It's not the greatest turkey in the world, but it's solid. Some days I get the pepper. Some days I get the maple. You're telling me for Thanksgiving dinner, the centerpiece is going to be a big old honking piece of boar's head maple honey turkey? I'm like, nah, man, I'm going to get sick of that real quick. That is a choice. It's an ingredient in the sandwich. It's not the centerpiece for a holiday roast. However, even with the sugar, because, you know, Allison brings up a point of honey baked ham. I think there's an interesting point here, which is this, is if you brought smoke as a factor, see, that it was smoked, and then you add that stuff, I could see a smoked turkey breast with that, even the pumpkin pie sugar glaze. I could see that work. I think it's going to be a little much, but I think the whole thing about Thanksgiving is this, by the way, that classic sweet potato recipe, I can't eat it.
Neither can I.
I like savory, whatever. I mean, I enjoy sweets, but I like way more balance and I don't know. I become a foodie elitist when it comes to sweets. But to me, yes, turkey is kind of boring. But that's okay, because then you have all the cool sides. And then your friends come over, and they bring in their own little weird traditions. And then the stuffing kicks ass, because I put sausage in the stuffing and cornbread. What's up with that? You know what I mean? And then I add gravy, because I like gravy. One year I used to make bell pepper aioli, because that shit's delicious too. I just said a bad word. Whatever.
We're good. We've crossed the line.
So, you know, it's kind of weird to say this, but like, you know, to me, you know, growing up in a Bengali household, it was kind of cool to watch my parents and then their friends go, we're going to make the Thanksgiving dinner. And they're literally like, we're going to make this huge unseasoned chicken. And they would struggle to eat it. My mom's friends would sit there with one jalapeno in their hand going, oh my God, why are we eating this boring I don't know. I mean, I like it too, but I just think honor the tradition of these pilgrims who lost their way, who met some folks who were like, here's a leg of venison and here's a chicken that we cooked.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Funny
Welcome
enough,
to Massachusetts.
I don't like, I mean, it's not that I don't like Thanksgiving dinner. I just don't like Thanksgiving. It's always been like a working holiday to me.
Yes.
And there's a lot of pressure, you know, like a Thanksgiving dinner, the way that we see it on TV and in the magazines, is all dishes that need to be cooked in the oven. So you've got 20 things and you get a tiny oven. And then the thing that you like, the one thing you like, always gets screwed up. And there's all this pressure. No one has fun. It's too much. So well, my family.
It is stressful.
I was going to say, good news this year is that, Allison, there won't be Thanksgiving. It's going to be canceled, so you don't have to work. And it's probably good. Okay, now I'm going to jump off the top rope. It's probably good it's going to be canceled this year, because my fear is, however this election turns out, and it might not even turn out by Thanksgiving, if we're being realistic, the day one of civil war, if we had a Thanksgiving, might be Thanksgiving. Like, that might be day one of our civil war. So maybe COVID is doing us a favor by canceling Thanksgiving this year.
I have been thinking about this since I had to start thinking about Thanksgiving content 2 days after the last Thanksgiving. Yeah, I was just like, I do not want to touch this holiday at all this year. First off, what I have always done for our Thanksgivings, we live in the DC area and we go to the Smithsonian, which is always open. And then we go out for Indian food. We go to an Indian buffet and they make
and get pumpkin spice.
Yes, and they do. They actually do a tandoori turkey that has some pumpkin spices on it, like, you know, other chili paste and stuff. And it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious. Indian food for us is Thanksgiving. But this year, like, we can't do it because all the restaurants are going to be closed. And I ain't cooking. I know for Thanksgiving, I am not cooking. I will, like, I'll order or something and just watch TV all day, because I can't. And this is going to be such an anxiety fueled thing. First off, Thanksgiving, everybody realized what a problematic holiday it is. Two, 3 weeks after the election, no matter what happens in the election, you know, half your family is super racist now, so you can't even talk about it. And it's all about togetherness. And I'm like, I don't want to be together with anybody because you're jerks and you smell like diseases and I ain't dying for you. And we're about to go into the second wave of a pandemic. I mean,
and you're going to need a drink. And so you need a drink. Let's talk about pumpkin ales, everyone. Segway. Ding, ding.
Hey. Look at that. You are a consummate professional, my friend.
Yes. So, dude, pumpkin ales. I mean, okay, this one, like, my thoughts on this one. I get really mad when I say when I go to a bar, as if I've been to a bar in the last 7 months. I haven't. But when I used to go to a bar and it was fall and you'd be presented with this pint glass that had a rim full of brown sugar. And you know, because it had a pumpkin ale in it, like as if it was a margarita. A lot of bars do this when they give you a pumpkin ale, because they treat it like a margarita, except it's an excuse to put more sugar on it. That is disgusting.
Yes.
Why don't you just make a pumpkin margarita then? You're not supposed to rim the freaking glass.
I'm beyond over pumpkin ales. Bye.
I've been sober for 5 years, and this makes me realize it was a good decision. I don't need to be jealous of any of these pumpkin ale folks. Trust me, it looks wonderful. I mean, fall beers were like some of my favorites before I had to give it up. Because again, lots of sugar, lots of calories, you know, so we could hibernate through the winter with our beer guts preventing us from hypothermia. But yeah, no, if anybody is out there rimming any sort of beer glass, just please stop. Just don't do that ever. Not pumpkin spice, not salt, not, you know, lambics I have more than one person has done this. This is what you're telling me.
Oh yeah. Oh no, this is like a thing. Oh, it's a thing. Have you seen this, Ollie? The rim?
I haven't seen that, but this is my take on pumpkin beer. Those are those six packs that you're like, okay, I got 3 6 packs. You know what? Maybe I'll try this one. That six pack is sitting in my fridge right now, untouched. No one wants it. You might as well just say, I don't have any beer, because no one wants it. It's not as bad. No, actually, I would put that Clamato giant Budweiser can. They're neck and neck of life. In case of emergencies, you'll drink this. You know, it sucks. Don't mess with my beer. You know what I mean? is nice.
What about hard cider, though? A pumpkin spice hard cider is probably delicious.
On paper, it sounds good. But this thing, personal bias, I'm not a cider guy. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I like, man, if I'm a savory eater when it comes to my liquor, bitter is better. Like, it's kind of sweet. Don't sweeten this up. Wine is as sweet as I'll get. That's it. I drink it.
Yeah, the thing is with sweet beers, you need one. You don't need six. You need one.
Yes.
And that's it. And you're like, you can either like, you have to spread it out. But there's six decent weeks of fall. So, you know, you mark everyone with, you know, a Friday night with pumpkin ale by the fire. And you listen to like, I don't know, Fleetwood Mac or whatever people listen to in the fall. And
drinking cranberry juice.
I like Fleetwood Mac. Maybe Fleetwood Mac would ease just the seasonality of it. I feel like this stuff started with Sam Adams. They're like, oh, wow, there's nine choices of Sam Adams back in the 90s. I was like, well, I guess I'll try it because it has a cool picture. But then I'm just like, it's punishment beer. I'm like, it's still here. And I don't like Lambic. Actually,
that's what I was thinking of. I remember buying a six pack of cherry Lambic when I was 17. And I could only drink like three of them in a night. Why I'm sober.
Well, listen, guys, this has been fun. We're going to wrap it up. I will say
I have a very strong pumpkin spice recommendation to make.
A strong buy from the expert of all things pumpkin spice, because Allison and her husband have bought everything that's pumpkin spice over the years.
And
go ahead.
They're mostly garbage. They are mostly garbage. Pumpkin spice lattes are great. Pumpkin pies, pumpkin cakes, all that shit's great. And pumpkin spice Cheerios.
I can see it.
I was dubious about it, but my husband, again, I bought it for him and he ate it. And he's like, this is wonderful because it makes the milk kind of like a custard, like a spiced pumpkin custard. And he's like, it's really, really good. So we ended up buying like enough of it to get us through like March, the last time it was out. It's a very good cereal. Kudos to you, Cheerios. We're not jumping the shark with this one, for guiding the shark into a better, more beautiful ocean.
I mean, look, I'll say right now, when it comes to sweet things with pumpkin spice, I do like some pumpkin pastries, like a donut, the way like apple cider donuts are good. If it's got pumpkin spice, that's good. Cake with like a cream cheese frosting, or a pumpkin spice cupcake with a cream cheese frosting. Excellent. I'm actually not that high on pumpkin pie because most of them are not very good. Like I have had like real pumpkin pie, like made by an amazing baker's place, Diane's Bakery on Long Island. Fantastic. Where they use actual cheese pumpkins and it's amazing. But like the supermarket pumpkin pie is pretty disgusting. And I'm sorry, I'm not into the pumpkin spice lattes, guys. Like, I know you guys like them, but like, it's just I like my coffee black and bitter, and I don't want sugar, and it's just I think Starbucks has done more damage to the American waistline than anyone else, including McDonald's. There's a hot take, because people are like, oh, I'll just have this drink every day and it's 500 calories and I'm not even paying attention to it.
You know what, those people know what they're getting into. Like, you know, I am a black Americano person every single day. When I have pumpkin spice, it's a treat. It's like, I treat it like a dessert. And those calorie counts are right in front of you. Like, if you're drinking something that you know is mostly sugar, you know, you're just trying to kid yourself. Like, oh, it's okay for me to drink this milkshake for breakfast because it's a frappuccino.
Yeah, but people don't pay attention, most people. I really believe that. I think most people are like, it's a drink, and they're not really looking at the calorie count, even if it is right in front of them. People just kind of live in their own world. I mean, there's a lot of facts out there that a lot of people are ignoring these days. Like, people don't always look at the facts.
Sure. But I mean, look, coffee, look, people, what do they always ask you at the diner? Do you want cream and sugar? So people have been doing it before Starbucks. Yeah. So there's my hot take on your hot take.
And people know, like, it's not that people don't know. It's that they want to find a loophole for everything.
Yes. Yes. So we love loopholes.
So it's like, oh, I shouldn't eat this pie for breakfast. Or like, but if it's like, you know, you're not supposed to eat cupcakes for breakfast, but muffins. Yes.
Oh my God. I do this to my kids all the time. There's a great bakery place by us called Poppy's. I got to give them a shout out in Brooklyn. And it's like, we'll be in line at Poppy's, and the way they're set up now, you order outside, you don't go inside, and they've got all their pastries on display in the window. And like, my kids will be like, can I have a chocolate chip cookie for breakfast? And I'm like, no, but you can have that lemon poppy loaf or that cardamom cinnamon coffee cake or that olive oil bun cake with the frosting on it. You just can't have the cookie. I'm such an idiot for saying that, but I say it.
I just baked a whole batch of my sticky toffee sticky buns the other day.
Breakfast.
They're gonna be yes, exactly. And it's baked in toffee and it's made out of dates and sugar and butter and it's quote unquote breakfast. You know, it's like, you know, I know what I'm doing. Like, think about pancakes. These are literally cakes made in a pan. If you are eating a stack of pancakes, you are eating an 8-inch layer cake.
With maple syrup.
Yourself, with syrup and butter. You've just deconstructed the frosting. You've made the cakes a little flatter. You put it for breakfast and you're like, this is normal. But then I eat an 8-inch cake in front of other people. They're like, you're a monster. You know? So don't tell me where and when I can and cannot eat cake.
Well, listen, I'm the cheap guy who doesn't pay for the extra time on Zoom. So we're about to run out of time. So I'm going to do a little wrap here. But Allison, thank you so much. Read her in the takeout. Ollie, thank you so much. Watch him on Cooking Channel because Cheap Eats, his show that he did, is still in re-airs. And he's on Food Network. And I know you've probably got some stuff coming out soon because I know you're a busy guy. That's all I'll say.
In the spring, that's all I'll say.
That's all he'll say. So watch out for Ollie. Allison, thank you so much. And Hot Takes on a Plate is part of the Believe Podcast Network. Check them out at BLEAV.com. And you can check me out on social media at Rob Patrone TV on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if this is your first time listening to Hot Takes on a Plate, make sure to subscribe if you listen on Apple Podcasts or follow if you listen on Spotify. Also, make sure to rate us 5 stars, of course. And check out some old episodes. We've got some great ones in the back catalog. Just had on Dan Pashman of The Sporkful to talk about his 10 years of being on the air recently. We also did a great episode a few weeks back on Can You Criticize a Restaurant During COVID? So check those out. Until next time, I'm Rob Patrone. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.